95.3 The Score is your sports station. Log on and listen live at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my
mind. Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Welcome. It is the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk on a 5 o'clock hour. So you got that going for you, which is nice. And if you want in, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It is the 14th of January. I don't think I'm really telling you anything you don't know. I just, sometimes when I get post-holiday, post-national championship, and it's kind of like gearing up for a new season, because now, like I say, by this time tomorrow, I will have kind of altered or defragged my own personal hard drive, and it's like college football, you're going to move a little bit to the side, NBA, college basketball, you move in, you kind of like on deck and in a hole. It's like at bat, college basketball. On deck, NBA. In the hole, Major League Baseball. Although MLB front and center for the wrong reasons right now. Wow, was it yesterday? Yes. That Lunau and Grinch, the Grinch that stole World Series, AJ Hinch.
AJ Hinch the Grinch?
Were fired by Houston.
Correct.
And then today, I like the mutual parting of the ways. Basically, we're going to let you walk away without firing you. Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, bye-bye. He's gone too with these investigations ongoing. You wonder if Carlos Beltran of the Mets, who was on the staff and has had more than a casual implication aimed his way. You know, I never really sat down and read what Manfred had come up with during the investigation. I mean, were there witnesses? Were there subpoenas?
I think he said, I read something that they did maybe just shy of 70 interviews, and I think 24 were players. Somewhere in that range, and I like
Pat, he did it.
Yeah, well, basically, like if Mike Fiers doesn't talk to The Athletic and be like, "Yeah, I remember this time I was pitching in Houston in 2017, and before every time I threw a fastball, there was this bang that came from the dugout, or there was this whistle or something. It was really kind of strange." If he doesn't talk to The Athletic about that, to Ken Rosenthal, and they do their own deep dive, talk to other players off the record, like if they don't have that report, Major League Baseball has nothing to do. And if that guy, I think it's John Boy on Twitter, if he doesn't go through and find the video from that game and, you know, edit it,
hear
and analyze
the bang,
it,
bang, bang, bang,
yeah,
bang,
and, you know, throw little sound effects up when you hear the bang coming, like, that's, you know, evidence A in this case is, like, we have video proof that there was banging. We can kind of tell from speakers it's coming from, you know, the right side of the field over here, the Houston Astros dugout. They were doing something. And I think Jeff Passan was talking about it a lot. He's like, this was a player-driven thing. This was about the players trying to figure out what essentially management, the head coaches, the managers, were telling their players to do or allowing their players to do because they came up with this idea and they didn't want to get suspended for it. Been kind of there, and obviously Manfred isn't going to suspend any players for it.
Well, yeah, the union would go bonkers over something like this and just push it up the ladder. And like somebody mentioned, Caesars Sportsbook has now posted the win-loss on the over-unders for the upcoming season. The Yankees at 101, Dodgers 99, Houston, despite team turmoil, 97. And obviously not doing a lot of damage there. And this is interesting. The win total from FanDuel for New York is 101.5. The 99 Yankees, after winning 114 games, were set at 104.5. And 2005, I don't know why, after the misery of 04, were 101.5. And after signing Gerrit Cole to that $325 million deal, they are also the World Series favorites. And you could bet them to win the series now at 3.5 to 1. But obviously not an impact. And I think a lot of people also understand that once a new GM and manager are hired, what did they say? Even a good manager, what does he mean? 4 or 5 wins a year, something like that. So, by the way, the Detroit Tigers take a bow. They've also made betting history. The all-time low for anticipated win total, 54.5. Does everybody remember how many games they won last year? I think I blocked it out, or who cares, because they're so bad.
Why would you even know? Why would you know?
Because it's 47.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's one of the 15 worst win percentages since 1900. And by the way, they got company. The Baltimore Orioles are 55.5. So combined, they're supposed to win 8 more games than the Yankees. Think about that. That's kind of crazy.
There should be, like, just if Manfred should just go crazy at this point with authoritative power.
You're all out.
And no, just say once a team is eliminated from playoff contention, and you get two teams, every pair of teams that's eliminated from playoff contention, you combine the teams together and you just have them play one of the team's schedules down the stretch just to see if they're better, worse, or same. If you combine two bad things together, does two negatives truly equal a positive?
Is the enemy of my enemy really my friend? Or does it only apply to Major League Baseball? Yeah, somebody texted that Beltran was bragging that he could read Yu Darvish. And does read mean I know what he's throwing? Nah, 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 nah.
That was the other thing. It's like every time the Astros played at home, and especially in the World Series, like a couple guys, starters got pulled out of games specifically because they thought they were tipping pitches. Like the Astros were hitting them so well. I think it happened to Strasburg. It might have been in game 7 or early in the series. He came in and had like 2 really hard hits against him, came into the dugout, and they're like, hey, I think you're tipping your pitches. You got to stop wiggling your nose or, you know, flexing your ears before you throw a curveball or, I don't know, something weird like that. He stopped doing it and he shut the Astros down. Like their entire thing when they made their runs or they had hot starts through the playoffs, it's like, wow, they must be really good. They're paying a lot of attention to these pitchers to figure out what kind of, you know, little tells that they have that something is coming, because that's kind of the only way that they would know. Maybe they were just actively paying attention to a baseball game to figure that out.
Yeah, somebody just sent me the article about Beltran and Darvish and tipping pitches. And, you know, we've seen this before, and some of you do it tongue-in-cheek. Some of you think that, you know, if they're going to redact or pull down, they're not doing that. And the Dodgers aren't winning the 2018 World Series, and who Houston beat 2017? It was the Dodgers. Right.
Twice.
All right. Here's a question. What do you do if you're a fan of the Astros? I mean, especially if you're an older fan and you waited all those years from when they were the Houston Colt 45s to, 1980 with Nolan Ryan to, the Bagwell Biggio teams of the mid-2000s that actually got into a World Series but got waxed by the White Sox. And, now you waited all that time, finally got the World Series. You suffered through three straight seasons, losing at least 105 games. You bought all your gear and your hats and your jackets and your T-shirts and your hoodies and your sweatshirts and your license plate and your deck of cards and, 600 of these naked lady tees. And, do you go out there and be like, yeah. I mean, you can't take away from the fun you had during the ride and the celebration that you probably participated in. But now it's like, ugh. It's like stealing a memory.
You treat it like steroids cheating, because it's kind of the same thing. Is the Astros used technology to figure out what was coming their way, and that was cheating and bad, and you shouldn't do that. But it still takes a lot of baseball talent to be able to hit a baseball very right. hard or very or very far. It's steroids, and using that to enhance your body to heal quicker, to be faster, to be stronger is very bad. It doesn't make your vision better. It doesn't make your hand-eye coordination any better as well. It's still very hard to hit a baseball. You just kind of qualified. It's kind of what a lot of Giants fans have had to do with Barry Bonds with his cheating. Yeah, all of the home runs he hit was great. Sure, he was cheating. Sometimes the pitchers he was going up against, they were cheating too. He still hit a lot of home runs. It's still fun. It just the baseball didn't take away the title, so it's still theirs.
I guess so. Somebody came up with the Houston Asterisks.
Yeah, I'll do it.
That fits in too. I mean, you got the first four letters just fit perfectly. I've had this conversation with some of my Yankee fan friends. Some of the most fun I've had supporting this team was the run during the Jeter era from, 96 through 2003. But, when I look back on those teams with Knobloch, prominently mentioned in the Mitchell report. We know what Clemens is. Andy Pettit, misremembered. But the bottom line was they were good buddies and workout pals, and Pettit completely sold him down. Doesn't matter what Clemens tried to pull up on Capitol Hill or since. It's like, we know, right? But, that great run.
Once again, Mr. Commerce, I think he misremembers the conversation that we had.
Pettit's like, no, I don't. The 98 team I often cite as one of my favorite teams, period. Any sport, any era, anything. Knobloch played 150 games at second base that year. He was an important, important player. The pitching staff, you had Pettit. That was the year before what's-his-face joined Rocket. So, do Pettit and Knobloch. It's like, you jerks. You had to ruin it because that was an awesome team, obviously. Win 114 games and crush everything in your path on the way to the title. Posada, Tino, Scott Brosius, the MVP of the World Series, Bernie, DJ, Paul O'Neill. They had a pretty good backup catcher that year by the name of Girardi.
Probably nothing.
What a good rotation. Andy Pettit, David Wells, David Cohn, El Duque, and the closer was pretty good too.
That's the only difference with Houston and, almost every other franchise is, especially you comparing it to the Yankees, you've got 25, 26 other titles to fall back on right. And say, I can find another favorite then. Houston, this is their one, and it looks like, some of their cheating was done by Alex Cora that directly, I don't know. You can't. I'm sure knowing what pitch is coming helps a lot in trying to hit a major league baseball coming from a major league pitcher. I'm sure having that knowledge is very helpful. There were also players that said it wasn't very helpful and they kind of wished it had stopped because it took them out of the game from their own preparation, which goes back to the same way that guys using steroids of like, no, 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 not everybody was cheating. I didn't listen to the trash can bangs. I was in the zone. I was trying to focus on what was going on. I did my thing. And, you know, maybe that was George Springer when he hit his home run in 2017 to get him the MVP. Maybe it was Correa or Altuve. Like, these guys were very successful before 2017, and that's why they were good. And you can still kind of just maybe I don't know how you talk about it with other baseball fans without it falling back to the joke of, oh yeah, but you cheated though, right? Remember that one? That yeah, cheat your way to that title. It doesn't really count.
Yeah, even the 99 team who didn't win as many games, but they were just a walking demolition crew. I mean, in the postseason, they swept the Rangers, beat the Red Sox in five, and then swept the Braves. I mean, there wasn't a lot of drama. But not only did they have Pettit and Clemens in the rotation, along with Knobloch playing second, let's not forget, one of the key relievers on the team that year was Jason Grimsley, who, when they raided his place, that kind of started the whole thing. So, I mean, how do you look at that as, there not being a kind of a taint? So I read an article some years back, Grimsley trying to live a quiet life, and since he talked to federal investigators, I think they caught him with a package being delivered to his house, and it was like, swarm, swarm, swarm. He was the guy that opened the door to, obviously he wasn't Balco, but he was, so they went to raid his home when he was playing for Arizona, and made him one of the first suspects. And I'm a great believer that, I know that Pettit tried to paint it as, I was injured, I only used it the one time, and it's like, whatever. The problem with Grimsley is his investigation and his admission that he used a variety of performance-enhancing drugs, and he knew other players who did it as well. These are the same guys who handled the Balco investigation. So, if you want sleaze, there's plenty to go around.
In non-cheating news, according to Brett McMurphy of Stadium and 24/7 Sports, it is expected that Oregon will hire Joe Moorhead to be their new offensive coordinator.
And who's reporting that?
Brett McMurphy and 24/7 Sports.
Wow. Right.
There you go. He was the OC at Penn State and was fired from Mississippi State after his egg ball loss that came down because of the player that did the pee like a dog touchdown celebration. Two coaches got fired for that. That's very fun. Two of them.
By the way, sometimes do you ever catch yourself having a conversation and is like, but this is real. This really happened. It's not goofy enough that you could make stuff like that up. But no, they were crawling around in the end zone, lifting their leg and peeing like a dog.
No, and yeah, it wasn't just a regular game. It was a rivalry game that both head coaches got fired from because a player did this random celebration that OBJ did one time like 3 years ago. No better time like the present to pull that one up. Oh, we were playing the Bulldogs.
Yeah, one of the times Joe Buck lost his mind was Randy Moss, where he kind of fake moon butt rubbed the bottom of the goalpost, and he went off not realizing that that was kind of like a Packer tradition where they used to like moon the opposing team's bus as it was like leaving or coming in or whatever. And he got a little over the top angry there. And yeah, it's not the epitome of class, But he didn't really moon them. I mean, he kept his knickers on, as they say. By the way, that we were talking during the pregame before last night's championship game about Thaddeus Moss, who plays for, he's a tight end on LSU, and that dude had a hell of a game. By the way, really surprising that he's got talent to catch the football. Consider Daddy is one of the all-time squared. I didn't get his final numbers, but I think he had two TDs. And the one real just total dagger. Yeah, Thaddeus, 5 catches, 36 yards, 2 touchdowns. Daddy all decked out. Although, Moss, I think, originally was going to go to Florida State, failed a weed test, and then I'm pretty sure he ended up, well, I know, I think Notre Dame was in play for a while, but the bottom line is he ended up with Marshall and had a great career. And he is a junior. So, yeah, I was not all that familiar with him, I think, until the Alabama game. I forgot, I was probably, you know, stunning development. I was probably listening to CBS Sports Radio, or I was home watching Game Day or something, and they're like, because, you know, obviously if it's on ESPN, Moss works. Wait a minute, Moss works for ESPN, not correct. NFL Network. Right. So, you know, kind of a colleague thing. All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter at 953 The Score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. Yeah, somebody said that they heard with the players not getting suspended from Houston that there would be this movement to get Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Look, just don't waste your breath or your time or your eyes or your reading or anything. He's never getting in. There's no chance. He would have to be cleared by Rob Manfred, who made it very clear that, yeah, this isn't going to happen. Not only that, two wrongs don't make a right, whatever mentality you want to use. Pete Rose played in and managed 4,000 baseball games. Every one of those games, he walked from the locker room. If he went to the bathroom, if he went to the dugout, he came in visible for all to see. The rule that says, basically, bet on baseball, banned for life. So not only did he see it a guaranteed 4,000 times, I would imagine they also have it up in locker rooms for spring training, and it's not like he just goes into the locker room once. I mean, they go out, they take a little BP, they practice, you know, the lineups, you know, sometimes you go back. So I would imagine an average of 5-6 times a game, maybe more. So, you know, over the course of his career, what did he see the sign 50,000 times? He gets no sympathy. He's not even it's just what's the catchphrase? Never say never. Never. He's never getting in. Just forget about it. He's on the ban list with the Black Sox. Bye-bye. All right, break time. We'll do just that and return with an update and more Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
He gets fired before the ruling even comes out. But when they do rule, I think it goes from anywhere from may very well be put on a ineligible list for Major League Baseball, which we have seen, or it's a suspension of 5 years. I don't see anything that would allow Cora to continue to manage the Red Sox.
Yo, Carl Ravitch, by the way. ESPN on Alex Cora before the decision was made to part ways with the Boston Red Sox as we welcome you back to Sports Talk. On 95.3 The Score, the Tuesday edition, moving along. And we have a national championship team that has been crowned in football. Eddie O. How about that whole deal with the cigars being smoked in the locker room? First of all, I don't know if I've ever seen that with a college team. It seemed kind of out of nowhere.
Well, they can't do beer.
I understand, but you still have to be over 18 to consume tobacco products, right? Is it 18 or 21?
It depends on the state, but I think most players, by the time they get out of high school and are especially this late into the year, or the fall, spring, whatever, early, whatever, I think most of them are 18 at the time, and especially some of, you know, the juniors, sophomores, seniors that are all a part of the team, that are all, a lot of them are playing, a lot of them are at least 18. So I think you're pretty okay with a cigar here and there.
Hey, you're talking to me. I've been known to light up a heater without a second thought.
LSU is okay with their players having victory cigars. Well, at least a victory cigar. They probably shouldn't smoke. We shouldn't say that. It's bad for you. It might be bad for your lungs. You're a high-caliber athlete. Maybe stay away from it. Maybe they should do beer. I don't know.
Yeah, the bottom line is, man, I've smoked many a cigar in my day. I've only accidentally inhaled, and I know that there are other dangers as well, you know, tongue cancer and lip cancer and all that stuff. So it's just what I thought. Somebody said some of the Ducks were smoking cigars after the Rose Bowl. All right, I guess that's a new thing. And like I said, I don't care, but the bottom line is you would think tobacco products, high-level athletes frowned upon. What'd you come across?
This is from Chris Mortensen, who
took
a tweet from @Panthers. Luke Kuechly announced his retirement today as well. Literally just now. Think he was
as we speak.
Chris Mortensen tweeted about 35 seconds ago. The tweet was 2 minutes ago from the Panthers.
Kuechly, 9 years, 10? Has he been? You know, he was. I remember when he came out of Boston College. You get to the point where he was the ninth overall pick in 2012. Okay, so this was just his eighth year, but of course, you know, he's been a high level. This is a guy who's made 160, 156 tackles, 144 this year. I'm not sure if he played at 28 or if he just turned 29. No, he's 28 years old. So maybe he's one of these guys who's had a successful, lucrative career, part of that great 2015 team that played in the Super Bowl and decided, yeah, I'm going to literally walk away with all my faculties.
Yeah, he has had a lot of concussion issues.
That sounds familiar.
He has knocked himself out of a couple games. He's come back too soon from concussions and knocked himself out of games. One of the things he talked about was he would wear like a semi like neck brace kind of thing that he equated, and or I guess when they found out what it was and when he talked about it, they equated it to it's similar to the structure of what a woodpecker has on their body so that they can sustain pecking into the side of a tree and not get concussions. And he's like, this will help me play football more. And if your body is broken and getting broken, and you can still walk away from the game, walk away from the game.
Yeah, good for him. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go, bring in Ken. Ken, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
All right, what's up?
So a couple of things, you know, Kuechly, I think he's had a lot of head trauma, some concussion issues. I remember it was a couple of years ago when he was crying and inconsolable on the sideline during game after being concussed or something. Like, it's a guy you worry about, those guys. I mean, especially those battering rams, a linebacker, you know, you think, thank goodness, get away while you can, while you still have some sense and you can still live a decent life. So good for him. Another thing, you're talking about the cigars. I was watching one of these rivalry games or something that happened, and the tradition is when you win the game, you smoke cigars. I can't remember who that was. It was Auburn, Bama, or something like that, but they smoke cigars literally in the locker room, in the winning locker room, after each year's game. I can't remember which one it was exactly, but there was a big profile on it on TV, and they were talking about it like it was no big deal. And then, heck, you worry about LSU smoking cigars last night. Did you see the videos of Odell Beckham on the sideline handing out wads of cash?
Yeah, but wasn't it didn't it turn out to be fake money?
I don't know, but, I mean, I the NCAA might say that, or someone might say that, but, I mean, at this point, who knows? Impropriety, I mean, heck, kids are smoking cigars, so who knows? They might have been a big old wad of hundies he's handing out, but everyone will look the other way and won't ever say anything about it. So.
Yeah, I something tells me from what I read, I doubt he was actually on the field handing out cash. I don't think they would have allowed that.
You never know.
I have a good one. I never know, but, like, I know OBJ is kind of about one thing, OBJ, but that seems like you're really going to risk the title your program just won and just randomly handing out cash. And if you look close, it's like, I don't think that's American currency. Just off the top of my head, not that I ever handle that much American currency, you know, for openers, who really carries that much cash anymore? I mean, basically, I can't remember. I mean, unless I'm going to like a concert or something, I don't think I've ever carried more than $60 in cash anyway.
I went to the wedding I went to this weekend, had a
cash
bar.
Cash money bar.
Right, so I had to get cash before the wedding, and I have some left over in my wallet, and I use cash so infrequently, I think I might forever just have $10 in cash in my wallet until it's gone. Like, or until I'm gone. Like, I don't buy anything with cash. It doesn't matter. I could probably buy something for a dollar. Be like, yeah, just, you know, debit card. It's fine. That'll do it. It's okay. I don't know anything that I would buy where I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'll finish off this cash I have here in my wallet. Because even now, like, when you pay for parking and everything, it's all digitally automated. And they're like, we know people don't have cash or coins or whatever on them. So, yeah, you can use your credit, your debit card to pay for your parking, too. I don't know when I'm going to spend these $10.
You still have it?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Take a bunch of singles from here.
Nah, I don't need more cash. I want breaking money and goodness.
284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, I don't even want to waste any more time. A couple of you texted in about Pete Rose again. It's like, no. He's a non-entity. If one of his people called and said he's doing a tour, he wants to be on your show, I'd be like, no, he's a criminal. I want nothing to do with him. I thought it was in that Dowd report when Giamatti referred to him as a common street criminal. If you really know the story of the Dowd report, basically they launched the investigation. Rose and his agent and lawyer walked into the room pretty cocky with then Deputy Commissioner Faye Vincent, Commissioner Bart Giamatti, and John Dowd, who put the, and I think there were two or three other people in the room. They basically went like this: here's what we have. And Rose and his people were like, please stop. We will sign whatever you want, agree to a ban, because there were a lot of rumors about peds, cocaine, and a lot of dealings out of that Gold's Gym where a lot of this stuff went down. So the fact that, like I said earlier, the man played and managed in more than 4,000 games, every one walking multiple times by a sign that says, "Bet and you're out for life." You know, it's that promo you hear sometimes for Amy Lawrence late night here on CBS Sports Radio. And she says the one that would sink him in court. "You're a gambler. You should damn know what happens when you lose." Bye. And one of the guys on Tiki and Tierney today asked him if he ever bet against the Reds. He says, "No, I don't believe him." First of all, he lied about betting on the Reds for more than a decade until the book came out. "I didn't bet on baseball. I didn't bet on baseball. I didn't bet on baseball." Whoa, you got the Dowd report? All right, I bet on baseball, I'm banned. "I didn't bet on the Reds. I didn't bet on the Reds. I have a book coming out. I bet on the Reds." Now it's like, well, I didn't bet against them. And it's like, if you understand the gambling culture, especially from back then, remember one thing. If he was playing for the Las Vegas Reds, he could have got legal action down. I mean, he wouldn't have been allowed to do it. But he was betting with a bookmaker. And I grew up in that culture. And I knew a lot of guys, the minute you're in a hole, you care about one thing. Not your favorite team, not the law, not the rules, not decency, not your favorite uniform color. Getting out of the hole and getting even. I would bet a grand, cash money, polygraph, Rose absolutely bet against the Reds when he was down. And there's no way to know, but I would have absolutely no doubt. And what are we going to take his word for it? The guy and the truth run in parallel universes. They never intersect. All right, 284-8571. That's your Oregon fuel injection hotline if you'd like to jump on in. I feel like coming out of our final break, I will kind of put final finishing touches on the 2019 college football season, because now it's all about college hoops, NBA, getting ready for the MLB spring training. You know, golf season is approaching. And, oh, right, Championship Sunday with the two games to determine who plays in the 2020 Super Bowl, because I am Barbara Walters, and this is 2020. All right, break time back, wrap things up next, 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to chill. The last hour and a half-ish on Twitter. No, just the last hour is coming out of the 5 or the 4:20, 4:40 break. When we learned that Alex Cora had been fired, in the middle of this hour, we were hearing that Oregon is very close to hiring Joe Moorhead as their next offensive coordinator, and Luke Kuechly has retired, and all of this has happened while Jeopardy GOAT is going on, and there's spoilers from that happening that I'm trying to avoid like the plague. Twitter's been crazy today, but it just all over the place, especially in the last hour. On top of that, my blessed Atlanta Fail Clowns are announcing that they're finally going to have new uniforms for the first time in 17 seasons. And at EDSBS tweeting, they should have actual feathers and beaks.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. Kenny Wooten, at Kenny Wooten Jr., was officially signed by the New York Knicks today to a 2-year contract, so congrats to him for making it in the NBA. Happy birthday as well to BFF of the show, Kelly Graves. He got a happy birthday wish from Sabrina Ionescu. "Thank you for being a great role model and someone I look up to. Please don't yell at me today. Haha." With a cake emoji. Love you. That's also coming with at Sham Sharina. Some great News out of the WNBA that we didn't talk about, but a new collective bargaining agreement has been reached. Salaries up to six figures for the first time. Minimums are going way up. The maximum has nearly, I mean, quadrupled up to $500,000. So many, I think, maternal changes.
Maternity leave.
Better flights, better hotel accommodations as well. So that is very big for the WNBA. But our tweet of the day comes from at @DevinWhite_40. The former LSU Tiger, I believe he plays for the Tampa Bay Bucks now, tweeted, finished the fight with a photo of Joe Pesci from Home Alone with, what's his name?
Macaulay Culkin.
Joe Pesci and Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone finished the fight next to a photo of Coach O and Joe Burrow.
That was pretty funny. That was clever. Somebody was doing some thinking there. And it's kind of scary how Pesci and Coach Eddie O look alike.
They look the same. They could be brothers.
It's a little disturbing.
Can you imagine Joe Pesci with like his high-pitched voice with the Ed Orgeron like Southern drawl from like the deep LSU? Oh my goodness, that would be a voice I would like to hear. So let's get Joe Pesci CGI'd to be a younger Ed Orgeron when we get the Ed Orgeron life biopic. Let's get that in the works. So thanks to @DevinWhite_40 for the refreshing tweet of the day. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @953TheScore. I'm on Twitter @RickNodgers, and Steve is on Twitter @SportsTalk953. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
JDI.
Choose kindness.
The new WNBA CBA, more salary, cash compensation, and like with what Nick just brought up, full salary on maternity leave, child care stipend, and guarantee of housing for players with kids, and the salary cap goes up more than $300,000 per team, and it's an 8-year deal. The cap will go up 3% every year, and about a 50% increase in total cash compensations that are separate from insurance benefits, housing, per diems, and more access to charter flights because, the ability to play every other night or the way the schedule works. And, for high level athletes like that, that was another one. So good for Kathy Engelbert, the brand new commissioner. And we had Ogumike on, who's the president of the union. And we talked with her about that leading up to the game against Team USA. So good day for the WNBA. All right, let's take a phone call or two before we get out of here. 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Vic. Vic, good evening. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
Hey, great. Great show, too, today, Steve. You covered a lot of territory.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm interested to know, remember the cheating incident in the NBA, too. It seems like it follows sports everywhere at the top level.
Well, that was with an official, Tim Donaghy,
yeah,
who was shaving points. So fortunately, that was not players or coaches trying to throw games. I mean, it was a disgrace and an embarrassment, and he went to jail for it. But it wasn't, I think it impacted the integrity of the officials for sure.
Yeah, and another point, don't you think any type of cheating in any of the professional sports, especially at that high level, will make a difference between winning and losing? Don't you think?
Obviously. Well, that's why they cheat, so that they could, A, win. I appreciate the call, Vic. And B, better their position so they can get a bigger dollar contract. All right.
And because winning
and they're cheaters.
Well, winning and money is important. You wouldn't cheat if it didn't work. Because if cheating and the steroids and all that stuff didn't work and it didn't help you win, it didn't help you get more money, you wouldn't do it, right? That logic has to all go together, right? You would think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I was looking at the final standings for the 2019 college football season, and Clemson winning the conference was not a surprise at all. Playing Virginia in the ACC title game, maybe a little bit. I think going in, the U and Va Tech might have been the favorites. I think Baylor kind of came out of nowhere. Remember, this was the year of his Texas back with Oklahoma. And early on, That was it. It looked like it was to be a two-horse race for Baylor to get in there. Not a surprise that Wisconsin contended in the Big Ten West. Ohio State, I think most people thought, would battle Penn State, Michigan again, with three conference losses. Warming the chair for one James Harbaugh. In the Pac-12, both favorites won. Remember, to start the year, Oregon was kind of a co-fave with Washington. I think it was 18 first-place votes to 17. And while they played a close game, you know, the bottom line is the North ended up being the biggest waltz of all the Power 5 divisions with a three-way tie. Beavs, Bears, Huskies, all four full games behind Oregon in the standings. Utah went to that last game where they had to beat Colorado because they lost again for the millionth time. Well, the bottom line, I think they hadn't won at USC since 1960. And I know they weren't in the same conference, are now, and still couldn't solve them. But Utah goes 8-1, does get their rear end handed to them by Oregon in the conference title game. Georgia and Florida, as expected, battled for the SEC East. And, of course, LSU and Alabama came down to LSU and Alabama with the Tigers winning and then winning the national championship. So not a lot of shocks, a lot of fun, a lot of entertainment. And, ladies and gentlemen, that is your 2019 college football season. We now think about things like February recruiting, spring ball, and all the other sports I alluded to earlier, which I'll be focusing on much, 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 much more. All right, hang tight. Have a great evening. We look forward to joining you again tomorrow for Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.